Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny. Let's get started. Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny. Let's get started. I just want to say that I play that intro song for myself also as I'm about to jump on the mic here, and I sweat that song. It's called Ariel, and that's my favorite character of all the Disney characters, Little Mermaid. So I'm just like, you know, just letting you guys know I'm just jamming out over here. Oh, what do I want to talk about today? I think I want to talk about hypnosis. Now, there are many different styles of hypnosis, many different ways in which you can go into multiple layers of the trance experience. But I also want to kind of call myself out a little bit for being judgmental towards hypnosis, thinking like maybe it wasn't a real thing or it was just a bunch of, you know, BS. I remember in my old podcast, though, I interviewed a hypnotist who helped people recover from addiction, used it for weight loss, breaking bad habits like smoking, etc. And I think traditionally that is what it has been used for. But there's also another style of hypnosis. And those of you that know Dolores Cannon's work know the deeper level. So there's a deep state of trance that you can go into, which I have not done yet. I found an app, though. Insight Timer might have this on there. I always am so blown away by the meditations that they have on Insight Timer. It's like unreal. It is out there. It is like so not mainstream. So the fact that Insight Timer is such a popular app, I think is such a reflection of where the collective psyche is right now. Because they have, even I consider these meditations on there to be out there. So they, I don't know if they have it, but this other app that I just got called HypnoBox has an option to, and you have to pay for it. Insight Timer is nice because it's free, but on HypnoBox, I'm thinking about maybe paying like for the upgrade and doing this deep state trance. And it says it's the deepest level of trance that you can get, which is what Dolores Cannon's technique of hypnosis is all about. And you're going way past the subconscious mind at that point, which is typically the area that you're working in the regular style of hypnosis. And you're going into the collective consciousness. You're going, they call it the superconscious. I would probably call it the collective unconscious. That's probably what I would actually title it, because I am a bit of a Jungian, even though I don't really like to call myself that. But so I wanted to talk about at least my experience with the non-deep level of trance hypnosis. And I don't know if it's just because I've been doing meditation for so long that I can really go to that place. It's instant for me to go into a meditative or hypnotic state, and instantly the whole process starts to unfold. It's not like I get there and I'm like, oh, is this working? Or are the things that I'm seeing and feeling just conjured up by my own mind? No, I am fast-tracked to wherever the hypnosis takes me. So I did a past life regression hypnosis a few weeks back. And there was, oh my God, it was unbelievable. First time I ever did one. And I've done it like, you know, in the form of maybe like light meditation, but I've never done it from like a tried and true hypnosis like technique, because it is different than meditation. The person is literally like counting down, like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, boom, now you're here. What do you see? What do you feel? Who's there? So it's very directive. Like the whoever's guiding it is literally guiding the whole session. So the way that and this is the Brian Weiss technique, by the way. And he actually gives trainings across the country. He's giving one in Massachusetts. Maybe in November, I think it is, because he works with the Omega Institute. But he also does trainings elsewhere. It's hard to find his trainings, though. They're rare. They don't really come up that often. And no offense, Boston, but me and you have ended our relationship. It is over. I will not be returning, even for Brian Weiss. Thank you, but no thank you. So I'm not coming to Boston to do the training. But I would consider going somewhere else. And his technique really works. So this woman who did the past life regression hypnosis on the Insight Timer app, she is either trained by him or what have you, but she used his technique. And I was not expecting what I encountered. It takes you back. And it takes you there in a very methodical way. So the whole goal is to first relax. And I am finding through some of the additional trainings that I'm taking right now. So I'm doing some Akashic Records work. And I might take that a little bit further. And through this hypnosis, I'm really gathering a lot of information about myself as I do these. But what I'm finding is there's something really simple but major when you can relax, and as a practitioner, when you can get somebody to relax. So the thing that interested me most about Dolores Cannon's work and the idea of hypnosis altogether, and my interest in psychedelic medicine, so much of it is rooted in the fact that it bypasses the ego. And as somebody that's been doing depth work for a bit of time now with clients, the ego is the biggest hazard that will create the obstruction in the therapeutic space. And I have learned to roll with the resistance of the ego, but I have been working on that for several years. I remember when I was a trainee in the clinical master's program, and I had an experience one time with a client who did not want to be there, but was mandated by the court to be there. And it was brutal, 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 brutal. It was like hitting a brick wall. Couldn't get anything. No information. No engagement. One-word answers. You could feel the resistance. The tension was like continuing to build in the room. And I was participating in that because I didn't know how to roll with the resistance. And it was so uncomfortable. And it was so like energetically charged up. And I remember I was being supervised by my supervisor who was sitting next to me, and she did a great job because she did not step in one bit. I mean, she let this whole thing unfold. And then afterwards she was like, you just kept going at her. Like, you didn't back off. And I'm like, yeah, because she wasn't freaking giving me anything. She was like totally stonewalling me, and that was making me go in harder. And she's like, yeah, you got to learn how to roll with the resistance, because it didn't work. She just continued to push back on you. And for, you know, whatever reason, partly my personality and partly lack of skill, I did not know how to just roll with what was in the room. So that has taken many years to try to figure out how to do that and not try to overpower somebody's egoic resistances, which can create such a huge barrier in therapy. And it will create and contribute to therapist burnout if the therapist is trying to break through that ego. So take a client that like is defensive. Just you make a suggestion and they're like, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, right? So like, okay, this isn't working. They're not really getting it. Or they're just not receptive to what I'm saying. Or you do a little bit of analyzing and you're like, it seems like maybe this is going on. No, that's not really going on. It's not really that. But then like 5 minutes later, they're saying that that's exactly what it is. But the ego at first is going to defend up against the authority of the therapist. So as the therapist, you have to learn how to work with the fact that you're getting projected on all day long, for the good and the bad, in all different kinds of ways. And so part of that is when the ego shows up to resist. And that used to be very exhausting for me. It would be really frustrating. You would see the defenses play out even outside of session. That would drive me nuts. So it's like, okay, I don't want to, you know, like, I don't want to wrestle with people's egos anymore. Like, I get it. I get that the ego serves a function. And I get that everybody's sort of like on their journey, in their space, and doing their thing. But I want to also be able to do my thing in the session too. And I just feels like I'm blocked from being able to do that. So I finally came to this realization that, one, depth work calls the ego to actually get stronger in people that fear being vulnerable. So the type of work I do in general is likely, in my experience, to draw in probably more resistance than if you were doing like CBT. I also know other depth psychologists that will say, I've never had the experiences that you've had in session. So what's up with that? So therefore, it's got to be partly me. Of course, it always is partly us because we are co-creating our reality. And let me just pause on that for a second, because I had a realization the other day. Call it whatever you want. Call it a download. And I had this moment in my head where I didn't intentionally visualize this, but it was basically like somebody asking me, like, if there was one thing that you wanted to like change or say about humanity, like anything that you wish people knew, what's the one thing that you wish people knew the truth about? And my response was that they co-create their own reality, and that I do not believe that the collective psyche is at a place yet where we can internalize that and integrate that information. I think there's a real block to even understanding what I even mean by that, because I don't mean that we are to blame for the ways that our lives turn out or how things happen in our lives. We are partly maybe to blame, because maybe there are some things that we're doing that's creating that result. And that is a big part of it. But the other part is that we are born with certain patterns that are not visible to the naked eye. We are born into this lifetime with this soul, carrying DNA from previous lifetimes. We are carrying some level of whatever, frequency, energy, vibration. We're coming into this lifetime with something that is way below our conscious awareness. And then we're acting out of that place. That's the energy that we're giving off. It's the law of attraction. So that's what we're drawing in. And we don't even know it. So if we don't know what's going on, we can't be blamed. So it's not about blame and shame, really, when you get to the higher understanding of what it means to co-create your reality. It's just understanding that you're carrying something with you that's kind of causing some stuff. Chaos, disruption, fighting, feelings of being powerless. Like, we are contributing to all of that, and we just don't know it. And I think if you look at a lot of the self-help material, especially like, you know, empath work or empath healing, so much of it is about like just disconnecting from what's around you and just focusing on yourself. And I think, you know, this whole movement that we have around, like, we have to set boundaries, like, this is mine and that's yours. And I've talked about that on the show. I'm not saying that that's not at least in part true. But I think once we get beyond that space as a collective, and we get beyond this idea that we are all separate, and your shit is your shit, and my shit is my shit, and I'm putting this wall up, I'm not going to take it on, and I'm not going to carry it for you, and it has nothing to do with me. And I'm literally parroting myself right now, because I have said those exact words. And I think for this time, in this world right now, that resonates with where the collective psyche is at. That stuff makes a lot of sense. I do think, though, that we are shifting into a space in which we will abolish all of those philosophies, and we will move into the space of non-duality, understanding that there is a one universal mind that we are all a part of, and that we are all connected. and that when the people around me are doing XYZ and having reactions like this and that, that's not separate from me. That is me. I am a part of triggering that reaction in people on an unconscious level. And that feeling and reaction and whatever's going on with everybody around me also lives in me. And so I think, the Jungian space really does a pretty good job of this, really identifying how we are actually all intermingled here. And especially the Ho'oponopono tradition is like, this is when it like blew my mind. When I went through that training, and Dr. Hu Lin, who was running the conference, would have such a strong reaction if somebody in the classroom raised their hand, to the point where people were afraid to raise their hand, because it's like, oh no, I do have a question, but Dr. Lin's gonna like have a lot to say about this. And what he would say is, we're all in this room together. We are all participating in the energetic space here. We are also participating in the energy of this building that we're in. And so we are all co-creating this current reality right now. Every single one of us is playing a role. So if there's confusion in the room and we have people that are caught in their minds and they can't understand what the material is that's being offered, and then they raise their hand, that's a reflection of all of us. So if somebody in this room is not getting it, we should be looking at ourselves. And so he would say, the second that that person raises their hand, every single one of you should be doing your cleaning. You should be cleaning now. And the way that they do the cleaning in Ho'oponopono is the mantra of, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I love you to the divine, I love you to myself. I'm sorry for forgetting that I am a spiritual being trying to figure out how to live this human experience, but I am a spiritual being first and foremost. Please forgive me for forgetting that. I am reconnecting back to source when I come from this place of love. And thank you is the gratitude of really closing it out with being grateful for the abundance that we already have in this moment of realization that we have right now, that it is our job to do our cleaning in our house. And therefore, that helps all of humanity. And it helps everybody in this room right now. So his theory would be that if somebody stood up and raised their hand and came out of a place of confusion, it was because those of us in the room that weren't asking the question, we were not doing our cleaning. And so he would even be doing his own cleaning the second somebody would raise their hand. That's why he made such a big deal out of the fact that somebody was raising their hand. And so he talks about how, later in his career, he would have people reach out and want a therapy session with him. And he'd be like, I don't need to actually have a therapy session with them because the work is already being done before I even see them. Sure, if they feel better paying me because we saw each other through the computer or connected by email or I saw you in person, okay, fine. That's not what you're paying for, though. You're paying for all of the work that I just did before I showed up here. All of the cleaning that I just did before I got to this space is the value that you're getting. So by me doing my cleaning, I'm also doing your cleaning. And this is when we come into the space of non-duality, understanding that we are all connected, all of us. So what's going on out there in the world, guess what? That's your shit too. It's not separate. The suffering that's happening over there, the chaos that's happening over here, the corruption that's happening over there. No, that's a part of you. It is a reflection of you because it is a reflection of all of us. And it's just, if we look at the whole collective of humanity as one person in one mind, we can have a better understanding of where we're at developmentally, psychologically, and spiritually as a collective. So, I know I just went on a rant right there, but I think coming back to the hazards of the ego, if we cannot get to a place where we understand this concept, that we are all connected and we are co-creating our reality, the ego is going to continue to be a hazard to our spiritual development. And so in my states of, you know, burnout, I'm like, I don't want to deal with the ego. Let's just bypass the ego altogether. Fuck this shit. Who wants to deal with this? I'm not fighting with your ego. Why would I do something so ridiculous? You know, and then get frustrated that like the person's not getting it or the person's not progressing and all the stuff. By the way, none of that is really my business. Absolutely not. If somebody is at a place in their life where they're not prepared to make any changes, so what? It's their journey. I'm here to support their journey, but it's not my journey. So what's the big deal? Why do we get so overly invested in whether or not other people are doing the right thing? As if we know what the right thing is for their soul anyway. So I think being able to think about, okay, I don't want to struggle with the ego. So then my default was like, okay, I'll leave the clinical space and I'll just be a hypnotherapist and I'll just work in psychedelic medicine. Cause then I'm getting people after we've already surrendered the ego. So that was originally my interest in hypnosis. And then doing the past life regression hypnosis was such a trip. They have you go back to a memory in childhood. They then have you go back to being in the womb. They then have you go back to a death experience from a previous lifetime. And it was just wild because the memory that I went back to in childhood was not a memory that I thought really had a big impact on me. I then went back to the womb and connected with that experience and some of the things that I experienced in the meditation or in the hypnosis actually did happen in real life when I was in the womb. Then I get fast-tracked back to a previous lifetime and right at the death experience. And I had, what I could gather is that I was being buried in a mass grave and I was observing this. First, I was like under the dirt as the dirt was being piled onto me. So I'm this like skeleton, but I'm conscious. That was another mind-blowing experience. We think when people are like in a coma or their heart stops and they're pronounced dead, that there's like no consciousness there. I don't think so. I think there could be a skeleton and it has a level of consciousness that can see what's going on. That was my takeaway. So that is like another level. Come on, that's like next level shit. So I'm first in the grave as a freaking skeleton watching the dirt get piled onto me. And then next thing I know, I'm up in the sky looking down on my body in this mass grave, getting the dirt piled on top of me. And I'm floating up in the sky with these other angels and none of the angels are flying. They're just like hovering. And the hypnosis has you like turn to whoever's around you and ask them what's going on, what happened, because they know and you're trying to find out. So I turn to my left and this angel's right next to me. And I'm like, what happened to these people? And they're like, oh, they died from a fever. So I don't know what it was. I have no idea if it was like a plague, like a fever type plague, but it was like a mass casualty that seemed to be from an illness. And it looked like maybe this was in, I don't know. My guess is that it was the Mayan civilization or maybe Guatemala or Peru maybe. I have no idea. That was the take just from observing the land and the people and like how things were going on. But it was unreal. It was absolutely unreal. And then so the integration work that followed that past life regression hypnosis also brought me into focus with this one wound that I've been carrying for a little while that I kind of can't seem to get over. And then it all made sense. It all made sense. And that wound has not even popped up in my mind since I did the integration work following that past life regression. So I don't know what to say about the hypnotic state. What I do know from the research is that it is very effective in reprogramming the subconscious mind, which is what holds all of our limiting beliefs. And if you do the hypnosis when your subconscious mind is most vulnerable and malleable, which is right before bed and right when you wake up, it's going to do something. It is going to decondition those limiting beliefs. So if you have social anxiety before speech or before a meeting, and you want to break through it and you've tried everything else, or you're still trying everything else and you want to add something else to the repertoire, do this. I'm telling you right now, do this. I'm now doing it for healthy eating. And it says do it every single day for 21 days. So I'm on it. I'm freaking on it. I wake up at like 5:30 in the morning. I put it on when I'm just awake. I make sure I set my alarm. Every time I end up falling back to sleep right after the hypnosis, I wake up. It's like new life is in me. It's the craziest thing. And ever since I started it, every single day, I've been able to fully commit to healthy eating, which just the day before, I wasn't. So I'm like, okay, I think there's something to this. And so I think we do all of this work to try to go into our psychological wounds, to go into the suffering. And I am still a firm believer that that is 100% necessary. But I think once you really get through the sludge of the suffering, and you've been doing it for a while, like myself, several years, 7 years or something straight, literally, I'm not even playing with you guys. I'm not even exaggerating. Imagine this. Every single day, without fail, for 7 years straight, I've been doing this shit. And if I'm either doing it with clients, or I'm doing it on myself, or both. Now, that's pretty, it doesn't really get any more committed than that. And so that's on an extreme level. But that's what I do. I don't do anything half-assed. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to really do it. Almost to a fault. But I'm at the point now where it's like, okay, I kind of want to branch into some other areas. And I want to do some other stuff. Now, I've talked about spiritual bypassing before. And I might actually do another episode because I'm going to listen to this podcast. One of the people that I follow, Corinne Grillo. She just did a podcast on how the Joe Dispenza model is an example of spiritual bypassing. And I'm actually very interested in this because I love Joe Dispenza's work. This is where I was first introduced to how to apply quantum physics into your healing and what it means to reprogram the subconscious mind. However, like a good researcher, I'm always going to keep my eyes open and make my observations. For the people that I know that have paid thousands of dollars to go to his workshops, they do not demonstrate that they have actually done this work. And I don't mean to say that in a judgmental way. It's just the fact. My expectation is that if somebody is deeply engrossed in the Joe Dispenza world, because I do value what he is saying and I do think he's onto something. But yet the people that I meet that have left his workshops, They're not demonstrating that they've integrated anything that's been taught. They're still having like really chaotic experiences in their life. And their reactions are consistent with people that have a very small window of tolerance emotionally. How is that possible? How is that possible? How can this teacher be teaching something that should be changing the world? But yet the people that I've encountered that have done those workshops at length are still very sick. This has been a conundrum for me. So all of a sudden, Corinne Grillo sends this newsletter out saying that she's talking about spiritual bypassing that, you know, with Joe Dispenza. And you know what? She might be onto something. So I think this is why I think you need to do both. If you just jump right to, I'm just going to do positive thinking, and I'm going to manifest good things because I'm just going to positively think. I'm not going to think about negative. I'm going to stay in the positive, and therefore I'm going to jump into the quantum reality track that is all positive and abundant for me. That's not going to work. As far as maybe I will change my mind on this because maybe we're just not ready to adopt that as the new truth. I hope I'm proven wrong. I'm hoping with time that is the answer. Because that sounds pretty, that sounds pretty good to me. Sounds pretty easy, pretty straightforward. But I still think where we're at as a collective is you're not going to be able to bypass all of your dark suffering to just jump to the good stuff. That's not how it works, I don't think. I really don't. We all have karmic debt that we got to pay off here. And if we just say, oh, I don't want to deal with that anymore, No, I think I'm done with my suffering. I'm just going to be in love and light. You know, that's the new age stuff that just gets pretty freaking not grounded in reality. So I do think you have to look at your own suffering. I think you have to go into the wound. And I think you got to grin and bear your way through it. And then finally release and let go and surrender. And accept everything for exactly the way that it is. That is when you come to a higher universal truth. In Buddhism, that is the philosophy. When you can see everything for what it is and not have a desire to judge it or change it, you have just accessed the highest state of consciousness that you can get in the human body. Give or take. I mean, you can go higher than that. But generally speaking, in the day-to-day, if you can come, that's compassion. That's the ultimate experience of compassion. Accepting the suffering in the whatever it is out here in the world and knowing that that is just par for the course and accepting that and being at peace with that without this drive inside to try to get rid of all of that suffering. You might have a desire that eventually we will get to a place where there's no suffering, but there's no drive. There's no ego drive. There's no, I'm going to go out there and advocate and protest and scream my head off and be angry and demand and make all the things change. No, no, no. That's not how you do it. So when you come into this understanding of acceptance of reality for all of what this Earth School is here to give us, which has to include suffering and pain, that's when you've just accessed the full truth of the human experience. And so to bypass that and just say, you know, we're just going to imagine, you know, good things without going through the sludge and the mud of the suffering and the wounds first, I don't know. I'm not buying it. This is probably why I had such a resistance to hypnosis in the past, because I was still knee deep in trying to figure out what this whole suffering shit was and what you're supposed to do with it. And why it's here and how to make meaning out of it. So I wasn't ready. I wasn't even through my own stuff where there was even a clearing to say like, maybe the hypnosis stuff could add a benefit. I am there now. But let's face it, you know, it took 7 years to get there. So, yeah, I think hypnosis is a real thing. I absolutely think it's legit. I can't say that it's going to work for everybody. Just like psychedelic medicine doesn't work for everybody. If that ego is so strong and rigid that there's nothing that anybody can do to break that down unless the universe comes in and does it for us or for the person, that ego is probably not going to be receptive to the hypnosis. But if you have a malleable ego and you're willing to surrender and you can let go and receive, hypnosis might be something that you could try and add to your healing process. So I'm with it, but I am not with it as a replacement to the harder, deeper work. I'm all about the grit. Like, I am not going to take the easy route. I never have. I never will. I tend to make my life, in fact, harder than it needs to be because there is meaning and a lesson in that for me. I have realized that about myself. My mind is very charged up. It's very strong. It works really hard. And just coming back and doing more astrology as of late, my chart is so full of Mercury energy of the mind. The Gemini sun ruled by Mercury. Virgo ascendant ruled by Mercury. Mercury in my ninth house with my sun and my Chiron in Gemini. I mean, come on. Holy, holy freaking intellectual. Holy mind. That's why I have to do the heart-centered work, because I need to be able to, like Adam Gainsburg says, you got to pierce the veil with the heart to create balance. Otherwise, it's so out of balance. It's top-heavy. The head is like just doing all the work. It can't be. So, but I also can't change that, really. Like, I really intellectualize everything. The emotions, it's not really. I can go in and I can really get a good understanding of the suffering. But as soon as I understand what it is, I want to move right on. I don't want to stay there. It's so damn heavy. I mean, you're just going to get swallowed up. I was like, why do I want that, right? So, no, go in, get the information. Let's move along. Keep it moving. That's my motto. Keep it moving. So, stagnation is not the name of the game for me. I think stagnation is the worst possible thing on this planet. Do I think forward movement and action and progress and productivity and always go, go, go is the answer either? No. But I think if you're going to, you know, not acknowledge your full potential as a human being and you're going to let it go to waste, that kills me when I see that. Oh, it drives me crazy. It really does. So I have to work on, I have to work on that. And I don't think I actually don't think I have that reaction with clients because I have a really nice, like, separation in order to sustain what I do. But in my personal life, I don't tolerate that shit. No. Mm-mm. Nope. Nope. I'm going to make you live whether you like it or not. And I'm going to make you live. I'm going to make you enjoy your life whether you want to or not. You can go kicking and screaming, but you're going. And everybody that's in my life that's close to me, they know I am right. And when I kick their ass into motion and they don't like it and they have to go through their little breakdown to have their breakthrough, you know what they say on the other side? Megan actually saved my life. I actually can't believe that she literally saved my life. It's been at least 3 people in my life that I've had that relationship with. The 3 closest people to me. And so that's part of my universal mind. When you're suffering and you're this close to me, I'm suffering. And that's the empath. I'm not going to tolerate that. Now, if it's other people that I'm not so deeply intertwined with, I can separate. But when I really deeply love you and care about you and I am invested in you living your life to the fullest, you're not going to want to come around me and just talk, 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 and then not do. You have an idea about what you want to do with your life. You want to travel. You want to do this. You want to explore. You want to make this happen. It's happening. I don't do talk with no action. You're going to talk, I'm going to make you manifest that into an actual reality. So now, like, the people in my life know, if they're not serious about an idea that they have, do not tell me about it. I'm not the one, because you come with an idea, I'm going to make you do it. So I'm pretty ruthless. I am absolutely ruthless when it comes to the people that are close to me in my life. I'm not going to let you remain stagnant and watch you waste your freaking life away. It's not happening. And I don't care what I have to do to change that. But I've been pretty successful. I probably won't be doing it anymore. I did one big, you know, rush of it all at one time. Everybody had to change. That was it. Everybody had to change. Everybody was dying and the lives that they were living, I was a part of it, wasn't going to happen anymore. So I made everybody get up, move 15 hours away. You're going overseas. You're going to the South. You're quitting your job. You're retiring. You're going to take care of your health. And that's it. No excuses. I'm not playing anymore. Because I'm not going to sit and watch people die slowly when I know that they have the potential to live a full life. Because I know the gifts that they have to give to the world. I'm not sitting back and watching that go to waste. Nope. So I have that drive in me to fulfill a mission on this planet that I can also turn on and turn off when appropriate. And I do a good job of turning it off too, believe it or not. And just letting people be and not interfering. Because therefore, I'm not respecting their path if I'm interfering. That's not the model that I use with my family, though. I gotta be real. And I don't regret it either, because it's really worked out. But I think, you know, when we think about the strength of the ego, it is a force to be reckoned with. And I think a lot of people are trying really hard to break through certain patterns. And, you know, I do think if you add hypnosis to the regimen, that you could potentially see a benefit. So I just wanted to jump on and share that. And then when I do this deep level of trance, when I do that style of hypnosis, I'll report back to you and let you know how it goes, okay? So I think that's all I wanted to say about that. I also want to say that the collective energy right now, everybody is tripping about finances. It is like the number one thing. Number one thing that not only am I observing, not only am I feeling, but the spiritual teachers that I follow are also observing the same thing. It's everybody's like, I got to get my finances in order. I got to get security underneath me. And I got to figure this shit out. I got to be more responsible with money. I got to somehow get more money in, whatever. So if you're in that space, just embrace it, because we're all in it. You're not alone, homie. We're all doing it. We're all in it. So let's just be together so we're not alone in this shit, because it's very stressful. And I think, but what I am seeing is people are having success. It's not like, at least what I'm seeing, people are having some success with this, myself included. So I think things are stabilizing on that front. And I think whatever people are doing as part of the collective to make that happen, I do think it's working. So just hang tight. Everything's going to work out. Don't trip out. It's all good. We're all in it together. And it's going to be fine. So I'm just going to leave it there, and I think that's it. I'm going to catch you guys on the flip side, all right? Same time, same place, all right? I want to see you here, right? Don't bail. I will catch you guys on the next episode, and as always, may the light always lead your way. Be well, everyone. Third Realm Integration Podcast and related content is intended to provide information and or entertainment only, and is not a substitute for mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not delay mental health or medical consultation or substitute a mental health or medical professional's opinion because of what you heard on this show. Seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a mental health or medical condition. The host of this podcast does not provide emergency support for mental health or medical issues. For questions or concerns, visit your local emergency room or contact your doctor.